You're listening to LawPod UK from the creators of the UK Human Rights Blog. It's a podcast that discusses developments across all aspects of civil and public law in the United Kingdom. All the comments are current at the time of podcast publication. LawPod UK is produced by the barristers at 1 Crown Office Row and is presented by Rosalind English.
Today's subject is a very interesting one, and I'll be discussing it with Professor Karen Young of Birmingham University. The question is whether our legal tools and systems are up to the task of managing artificial intelligence, or even artificial general intelligence, in other words, a machine that has learned to educate itself. Karen is interdisciplinary fellow in both the law and the computer science schools at Birmingham. She recently gave evidence to the Lords Select Committee on Artificial Intelligence and was eminently qualified to do so, as her core research interest is in the regulation of the new technologies, particularly those that refer to big data, predictive analytics, blockchain, and robotics. In the course of this podcast, you'll probably hear the faint sound of roadworks outside Karen's office. Apologies for that. I can't often get busy people into a studio. Karen, welcome to LawPod UK.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're not talking about Terminator-style robots here, but a form of intelligence you can't see, machine learning algorithms. There's a tendency to discuss artificial intelligence as something in the future, but in fact, it's happening now, all around us. What, in your view, are the challenges this presents to the law in particular?
Well, I think there are a number of challenges, and I suppose if we think of one of the law's first priorities is to ensure that our legal system, our legal concepts, our doctrine, our institutional mechanisms are up to the task of preventing, safeguarding, and responding to harm that these technologies might generate.
Do you think this came up in the House of Lords discussion? Some people felt it was too early, too premature to come up with regulation for artificial intelligence. Other people think that the horse is already bolted. Where do you stand?
I think that's a really difficult question because we're still trying to grapple with understanding what the implications of these technologies actually are. And this is, in fact, a familiar challenge when it comes to governing or regulating emerging technologies. And it's referred to as the so-called Coleridge dilemma, or the technological control dilemma. And the problem is this, that if you intervene and try and regulate anticipated adverse effects too early, then there is a danger that you will not allow the technology to develop to the point where it may generate considerable benefits that you would want society to benefit from. On the other hand, if you wait too long and intervene too late in that process, then the danger is that the horse will have already bolted, that there tends to be a path dependency associated with technological rollout, and it becomes too late to take meaningful and effective steps to safeguard against the adverse effects that have already turned up in your social structures, and it becomes too late to try and prevent or mitigate them.
I suppose, and this is a point that Nick Bostrom and others have raised, that in the real world, it's going to be the sloppiest, faultiest version that gets out into the environment. So here's a question. When something goes wrong, which it will, and there's no person at the end of the chain on whom to slap a writ, the obvious examples would be the malfunctioning of self-driving cars or an AI-run medical diagnosis system. Who or indeed what should be liable, and how do we get round the problem that sometimes the person is no longer to be found?
Okay, so this is actually quite a familiar problem associated with the so-called problem of many hands. So the law has found various ways for dealing with the many hands problem, and one of them is through ideas or concepts like organisational liability, or through concepts like strict liability, where the whole notion of fault is simply sidestepped So it's possible that we have conceptual or doctrinal tools that can deal with the many hands problem that is raised by computational technologies. The more challenging question that we have not yet resolved is how we deal with the problem that many of these technologies have the capacity to learn recursively by example. And as a result, their outputs are not predictable by their developers because the outputs that these technologies generate is a product of the data that is fed into them, how that data is then processed, and how the outputs from continual iterations are then reprocessed by the system in order to alter the outputs, in order to improve performance of these technologies for future iterations. So that means that it's impossible for the developers to foresee precisely how these technologies are going to operate when they are released into the wild, as it were. And therefore, these ideas don't sit comfortably with our conventional notions of foreseeability and the importance of demonstrating that outcomes or harms should be foreseeable before one can allocate blame to a particular individual or to a particular organization. So this is one of the key challenges which machine learning technologies generate for the law.
I had an argument recently with a tort lawyer who said, it's fine, we've got tools. They come from our good old 19th century law books. It's called Rylands and Fletcher. No foreseeability needed, strict liability. What is your view on that?
So it's been a long time since I studied Rylands and Fletcher, I have to add. Now, I seem to recall that Rylands and Fletcher is a form of occupier's liability. Is that correct?
It's more that if you have something on your property, whether it's material or a dangerous animal, you are liable for when it escapes. So it's the escape element of it, which it has been argued is adaptable for, you know, kind of escaping algorithms.
Oh, well, that's an interesting idea. I suppose one of the critical touchstones for occupier's liability, if I understand you correctly, is that there must be a clear spatial dimension. There must be a place and a location in which the harm occurs. So that would be very interesting if we try and think about harms that occur in cyberspace. So I suppose what becomes crucial then is who is the originator of the animal, in this case, the computational system.
It's if you imagine a wild animal, a dangerous animal, escaping from its owner's control, it doesn't really matter where it is, and it damages your property or you. That is a Rylands and Fletcher situation, which could be stretched to a situation.
Well, I mean, because I'm not a Rylands and Fletcher expert, I can only kind of speculate. I'd actually have to do some very careful doctrinal analysis before I really came to a more definitive answer. But my hunch is I don't think it's going to be up to the task.
What about the proposal, once again, getting back to the House of Lords discussion, that there should just be an insurance fund that resolves these problems? I mean, I'm not thinking exactly of no-fault liability like you have in New Zealand, but just set up a deep pocket of insurance.
I think there is definitely something to be said for thinking about insurance schemes, because one of the challenges, I think, which learning technologies generate is the difficulty in attributing fault. And in the absence of fault, you don't want to leave the harm to lie where it falls. That would be simply unjust. So the person who was killed in an autonomous car accident should not have to bear the brunt of that themselves. I mean, they do. The person is dead, for example. Let's say it was a fatality. But there should be some kind of societal response so that the family or those to whom the property should otherwise receive from this person's estate should receive some kind of compensation in recognition of the loss that has arisen in this particular case, even if it is not possible meaningfully to attribute blame or fault in the way that we conventionally understand it to any particular individual or organisation. And I think unless we do that, we're in real danger of wreaking serious injustice in society by enabling the technology developers and owners to reap the benefits while the loss falls on the unfortunate individuals who suffer harm.
And I suppose the question, where does the money come from? it must come from those who profit, because presumably they'll be saving a lot of money by not employing human employees.
Exactly. And also it does create incentives to build the right amount of safety and reliability and verifiability into the technology.
So moving on to not so much the legal issues of AI itself, but how it's going to, when it's going to replace the legal profession. I'm thinking of the eBay dispute resolution system, which does away with lawyers altogether. Do you see that moving forward into more complex and expensive disputes?
I think we will probably see a scaling up of online dispute resolution mechanisms of that kind. But I tend to think that the human condition is a messy one, and computers are not going to solve that anytime soon.
Say you have a very technical dispute that would take place in a special court where it's actually numbers and technical evidence that is being argued about in a forensic situation. Wouldn't it just be better to feed it through an artificially intelligent judge, as in a robot, rather than a human wet brain judge?
Well, I don't quite understand why you wouldn't use these technologies to provide you with insight, and then you would have a human tribunal evaluating the meaning and legal significance of those insights. I don't quite see the point in doing away with the human element altogether.
But the human element in that scenario would almost be the kind of handmaids of the decision-making computers.
Would the computers generate a decision? They could generate decisions about very specific questions. That much is definitely true. Could they resolve what does justice require? What does the law require? What ought the law to require in this particular situation? I'm not so confident. I just think we are such a long way from fully automating the resolution of legal disputes and replacing courts that it's a little bit far-fetched to imagine it. I think the way in which legal technologies will work will generate other kinds of problems, but I don't think the replacement of human adjudication is the critical one.
So looking further into the unknowable future, is there any way that we're going to be able to regulate autonomous weapons, for example, or protect ourselves when rogue countries like North Korea decide to launch cyber warfare?
You know, that's a really good political, technical question, and I really don't know the answer to that. It partly depends on whether or not we have the political will to act collectively to find ways to respond meaningfully and effectively to those kinds of threats. And politics is a difficult game to predict, and I don't think I'd want to predict it. I hope we can find ways to respond effectively. I'm not absolutely confident, given what's going on in the world in the last few years, that we will get there anytime soon.
This is a bit unfair, but I'm going to fire another non-legal question at you. But one, this perplexes those in the field of artificial intelligence. How do you foresee us overcoming the so-called alignment problem? In other words, we can't be sure that we'll be able to align the utility function of an AI system with human values. So a famous example, you'll know this, is a paperclip producing machine that destroys everything in its wake in order to maximise its paperclip production. Can we forge any possible ways around this?
Well, there are people working on the value alignment problem and thinking of technical solutions for extracting human values from observations about the way in which humans actually behave. So there are ways in which we might get better at specifying richer or thicker optimization functions so that we avoid the paperclip problem. So that's one way in which computer scientists are already trying to move forward to avoid the value alignment problem. The other way is to devise kind of socio-technical systems in the way in which the systems themselves are designed so that we can more accurately specify values and value trade-offs in specifying the optimization function. So that I don't think there has been a lot of movement on, and I think that is an important place in which there may be real scope for trying to embed human values and value trade-offs into the systems themselves. But I think above all, what we need to do is be very careful about when we release these kinds of programs and systems into the world. What we need to do is to start taking seriously the problems that are right here, right now. So I do tend to get frustrated from time to time about the fascination with whether or not we're going to build artificial or general intelligence. I can see that that's an important question, but my own sense is there are really urgent questions that we need to address now that we really haven't made very much progress on. And that's where I hope we will start to invest our resources and our skills and our reflective capacities.
Well, I hope that there'll be more material for you and I to have a similar discussion further down the line. Karen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks, Roslyn.
LawPod UK is presented by Roslyn English and produced by One Crown Office Row. For more editions of LawPod UK, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and recommend us to a friend.